I am yours. It's not because of who I am, but because of what you've done. It's not because of what I've done, but because of who you are. I am a flower quickly fading,
today and not tomorrow.
Just a wave tossed in the ocean, a vapor in the wind. Still you hear me when I'm calling. Lord, you catch me when I'm falling, and you've told me who I am. I'm yours. I am yours. I am yours. Whom shall I fear? Whom shall I fear? Lord, I am yours. I belong to you. I am yours. Yours. I'm yours. I'm yours. I'm yours. I'm yours. I'm yours. I'm
Listen, I have a word for this body, and I believe it's straight from the throne of God. It's time to pick up. It's time to get up. It's time to quit looking down. It's time to act like Jesus Christ really is the Lord of Lords and the King of Kings. And it's time for this body to rise up in the spirit of unity and quit talking about what's going to happen in the future and start determining your future and this church's future by the power of the Spirit of the living God and the spoken word of God coming out of your mouth. And I'm going to tell you something. God is not done with New Life for the Nations in Columbia, Kentucky. God has not even started hardly what he wants to do through this church and through this ministry and through each one of you, because you are the church and you are the ministry and you are the ones that are going to do great and mighty exploits. And I've got a word for you, Pastor Jerry. 15 years ago, I heard you stand up and I heard you say by the power of the Spirit of God, and maybe it was about 17 years ago, that God spoke to you and said, Moses, my servant, is dead, and it's now time for Joshua to rise up. And I'm telling you, God is not speaking to you tonight and saying, you're old and worn out. He's saying to you, rise up. You're in the middle of your life, and it's time for Joshua to rise up again and be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might, and to go forth in the anointing of the Word of God and the Holy Ghost. And we declare that to be so in Jesus' name. And I refuse, as a product of this ministry, I refuse to receive an evil report in Jesus' name. I refuse to receive anything but the report of the Lord. Anything. And each one of you need to rise up with the same spirit of faith and say, I refuse to receive anything. Amen. Who was it that said that this morning? Andrew told you, Brother Clifton, anytime you lean on the arm of the flesh, they're going to fail you. But I'm telling you, we're not leaning on the arm of the flesh. We're leaning on the Word of God. We're not just leaning on it. We're standing on it, in it, and it's standing in us. And we were singing that song, Pastor Laverne, tonight. And you know, making it that it's time for me to stand up, man. I could feel it. I could feel it, Dr. Childs, in my spirit, man. My spirit, man, saying, son, it's time to rise up. Because we're not waiting for God to rise up. Bless God, if you're waiting for Him to rise up, He rose up 2,000 years ago from the grave, and He's not going to die again. And it only took Jesus Christ. And so what that song says to me is it's time for us to rise up by the Spirit of God and stop accepting defeat. I'm going to say it even though I'm not the pastor of this church. I'm a product of the pastor of this church. It's time for New Life Christian, New Life for the Nations. New Life for the Nations to stop accepting defeat. It's time. It's time. It's time. It's time. It's time. I hope every one of you go tonight, sleep tonight with it's time. It's time. Break that spirit of apathy off of you in Jesus' name. Amen. Come on, say it with me. In Jesus' name, I break the spirit of apathy off of me and my church in the name of Jesus. And I'm going to rise up and go in power and authority of this book of the Spirit of Acts. Amen. I love you guys.
Well, Hallelujah. I tell you, get up here, you want to preach, Brother Clifton, so you better get ready. The Bible tells us that some will trust in chariots and some will trust in horses, but what do we choose to trust in? Amen. Hallelujah. Well, it's camp meeting time, in case ain't none of you figured it out yet. So we want to welcome you to New Life and Camp Meeting 2012, where there is unity, there is power. Hallelujah. We got a few folk here that are grinning with each other, some things that are happening. I'm not waiting for it to happen. It's happening. I choose to live in the moment. Amen. So as long as I'm choosing to live in the moment, I'm just looking, expecting. Hallelujah. Well, I want to introduce our speakers tonight, Jerry and Clifton. They've been around longer than I have. Well, not just in age, you know, but... they are pretty good looking, though, aren't they? But they have sowed into my life every time they came. I think the greatest thing I learned from them is the message of grace. To allow that grace to cover you and be a net, hallelujah, that you can fall into. And I've learned from Brother Clifton, just be yourself. You know, just be yourself and let the Holy Ghost use you. Use your personality and just relax in the anointing and just let her go. Amen. And then God will work everything else in your personality out. He gave it to you and He gave it to you for a reason. So He knows how to refine you, soften you up, or, you know, do some things in you. So I appreciate both of you and what you sowed into our pastor's life and been faithful to God, and God's not done with you yet. Amen. Love you both.
Well, she's poured water into my pump, and I don't know what I'm going to say because I've got four messages. So I'm just going to trust the Holy Ghost. But what Sister Shirley said, see, God called me to be in the ministry and told me I was going to be a pastor's wife. And the reason I thought I could never be a pastor's wife is because I knew some pastor's wives that I couldn't be like. And I thought I had to be like them. And, you know, I've told you this before. Some of them didn't wear makeup. They didn't wear no breeches. And I was a cowgirl. I had jeans that I needed to wear, and I really liked my makeup. So I thought, well, I can't be like that. And plus, they wouldn't play cards. No.
Hello.
No mixed swimming. Well, you know, I just didn't think I could. So, to make a long story short, the Holy Ghost...
Come on.
Yes.
...said He wanted me to just be me. He was calling me to the ministry, and I could be myself, Connie. Isn't that awesome? That's Shirley, awesome. We can be ourselves.
Hallelujah.
And it's freedom. It's freedom. I couldn't be like other people. You're not ever supposed to be like other people. Now, we can follow as they follow Christ. You know, we can emulate people. That's okay. Paul said, follow me as I follow Christ. And that's a good thing. But to try to be like somebody because they're in a position or something, it doesn't work out for you. No, that doesn't work in any position. So anyway, I had to say that because you got me started there. But Brother Jim, oh my gosh, I was like Richard. I wanted to hop up here last night. I could hardly sit in my seat because every word he said, I agreed with every syllable, every word the man said. Some of you who were here last night are thinking right now, what did he say? Well, what he said was be a pioneer. Don't be a squatter. Don't be a settler. Be a pioneer. Get some fire. And that resonated with me. And I was just so excited. I wanted to get up here and grab a microphone and help him out.
Come on.
I wanted to do that. And so, but I knew I'd have my time. So I just, it was tough. But anyway, do you know that as awesome as that was, and I've got notes and I'll be using that. I'm going to teach that on the radio. That's going to go all over thousands of people are going to hear that. As awesome as it was, that was yesterday's manna.
Come on.
Today's a new day. We ate yesterday, and didn't we eat again tonight? So we got to keep. So here's what happened. And Brother Jim, Dr. Jim, said to Clifton and I, he said, or I think he said it to me, and then I told him, anyway, that we're different than we were last year, that we're better. You know, some of you have hedged around. You've looked at me and, you know, how are you? You know, and I know what you mean. You know, how are you since you lost your son? And last year we weren't doing very well. And we still have our days, but we received healing.
All right.
Can anybody? We received a healing in our heart. And the way that we did it is these songs, and Sherry's song was so awesome. You know, you give yourself to God, people. See, the reason you're having issues and problems and struggles and the reason you didn't give yourself to God.
Yeah.
You're trying to handle it yourself. Am I telling the truth? But don't jump in yet. I can't turn him, if he says one word, I have to sit down. So, but you know, you're just trying to work out your own thing, your own stuff.
Oh, yeah.
You're trying to work it out, and you're figuring, and you're worrying. You know what? Hey, here's what we did. Long time ago, gave ourselves to God. We trust God. Don't understand everything, but we trust.
Come on.
When you give yourself to him and just roll with the flow, it's easy. Jesus said, my yoke is easy.
Come on.
He said, my burden is light.
Yes, ma'am.
And so that's how we make it. And we got healed because we gave ourselves to a movie. It's a soul-winning movie. And I don't think we talked about it last year because it hadn't come up yet, had it?
Somebody was
asking
me about it.
Did we talk about the movie last year? Well, yeah. We probably didn't know much
about it. Yeah, we talked about it last year.
A little bit. Well, it's finished. It's a soul-winning movie. We put our whole heart and soul into the movie. We had to pay our own expenses, furnish our own wardrobes, and planted seed, because, you know, Brother Dave, he's an awesome guy. People said, now, is this a low-budget film? He said, no, sister, this is a no-budget film. This here I'm doing is a no-budget film. So everybody that was in the movie, some flew in from overseas. They flew in from all over the United States to Tulsa, Oklahoma. We drove down there 5 or 6 times, flew, drove, spent time, did this movie. And we put our whole heart and soul into it in dedication to our son. We said, God, we're doing this for Kelly. And every soul that is won, he gets a star in his crown too. Even though he's already in heaven. Now some of you are thinking, I can't do that. It's over for him. Huh? He's alive. He's alive. And that's the other thing I want to talk to you about. People that go to heaven are more alive than you and I. They're more alive than we are. And God has been giving me revelation that I can't share tonight because I don't have time. But I know Laverne will have me back for a ladies thing some one of these days. And I'll share it then, or maybe next year. But God's been giving me some powerful revelation, and it's out there. And I said, God, really? And he just began to open up the Bible to me. And if you read the Bible, you know, you might say, well, I've read the Bible. Well, I've read it over and over and over again. But Jesus said, my words, they are spirit and they are life. And so the Bible doesn't change, but our revelation changes. Our capacity to receive changes all the time. And so I began to find scriptures. You know, we all know the one about the Apostle Paul. You know, he said, I don't know if I was in my body or if I was out of my body. I don't know. But I went to the third heaven. That's in our dispensation of time. He talked to angels. Angels talked to him. Jesus appeared to people in the New Testament. John the Revelator said, well, I was carried away in the spirit. I was carried away in the spirit. And he saw things. And I've been studying for many years, but especially since my son went there, I'm more interested in heaven now. But for many, many years, I've studied heaven, and I've studied people's testimonies from 1867 to 2012. I've studied people's testimonies. I've watched documentaries on TV. I've talked to people personally, and I've had my own experiences. And there is more of a connection between heaven and earth than we give time to.
That's right.
And not that you go seeking things. I'm not saying that. And don't misunderstand me. But I am telling you that there is more of a connection between heaven and earth than you know. And I will just share one thing. I heard a woman say, we went to Colorado in April and ministered, had a little ministry tour. And a woman I've never seen before in my life. She knew we had lost our son, though, through a mutual friend. And she handed me a couple of CDs. And she said, here, I want you to listen to these. And you know how, well, ministers know how people are always giving you stuff to listen to. They want you to listen to that and see what you think and everything. So I put them in my purse, never gave it another thought. And a few weeks later, I was driving, and I had some time to drive, so I stuck one of those CDs in there. Now, I'll just tell you one thing that she said that I know in my heart is right. About portals. Now, how many's heard the old hymns? You've all been Baptist, Methodist. You've all been back there with the hymns. You know, from the portals, he's waiting and watching. Come home. Oh, sinner, remember that one? From the portals. And then you've heard preachers get up and say, well, they, you know, from the portals of glory. And I used to think, I didn't even know what that meant. Well, this, on this CD, this woman said this. And I believe it. And you might say, oh, that's Sister Coulter. I don't know. We're going to have to pray for her because she's so out there. But there's portals. I really believe that from these portals that they can see us. See, I used to think, back in the old days, oh, they can't see us. They don't know anything. Because if they did, they'd cry because, you know, God wipes away all their tears. There's no crying in heaven. And if the people in heaven could see us, they'd be wailing. But here's the thing. You just pray about this. Don't mark me off yet. Just you go home and you pray. God does not see our lives like we see our lives. Our loved ones in heaven do not see our lives like we see our lives. We see devastation and oh my God, and we see it like that. Our loved ones don't see it like that. They see a loved one on drugs and they think, well, you know, that's going to be over pretty soon. They're going to be up here.
Yeah.
See? So anyway, one more thing. Y'all, that got a big amen, didn't it?
All right.
You got to think about it. You got to think about this. But the other thing is this. I talked to this, to Brother Jim and Connie, whoever was at the table. But in John 14, where it says, in my Father's house are many mansions. That word mansions is rooms. It really is rooms, or as he said, dwelling places. And I've read books from people. The book from 1867 is called My Dream of Heaven, but it's a woman's experience that she had right after the Civil War of actually going to heaven. And then she woke up later, but she went to heaven, and she talked about her room. And so I want to just encourage you with this before I sit down. Your room in heaven has got everything in it you have ever dreamed or wanted. Everything you've ever, all of your talents, if you play, what's his name? Ronnie, you're going to have, I'm telling you, you're still, you're not even going to believe it. You're going to have a whole room just full of every kind you've ever wanted in your whole life. I'm telling you the truth. And you're going to be doing concerts for people. See, our gifts and talents don't stop.
That's right.
They don't stop here. R. Kelly, he's getting a ranch ready. Now, if you think I'm crazy, just leave me alone, because I'm doing good with this. He's getting our ranch ready, finding the finest horses for him and his dad to ride on. He's making me the most wonderful kitchen, even though you don't have to cook there, but I might want to. I love cooking if somebody else, and there's no mess there. There's no mess in heaven. Ain't that wonderful? So anyway, that's part of why, you know, we're healed, because we trust God. We have given ourselves to God. And I challenge you to study what's in the Bible about heaven and let God give you revelation about heaven. It's a real place. It's a real place. It's a place. We get a new body, but it's a real place. It's not just some woo spiritual out there just floating around on a cloud. It's not like that. We will continue. We will continue. Only no shackles. No sickness. No nothing. No lack. Oh, honey, I'm sorry. I know I've taken up too much time.
But oh, I don't care.
I got on a roll there. Isn't that awesome, though? Don't you think it is?
Yes.
Praise you, Jesus. Thank you, Sherry. Quietness makes me think they're wondering about me.
Well, they're probably wondering about that tattoo on your arm.
He brings this up. Well, one of my patients, I work in hospice as a chaplain. We do last dreams for people. One of her dreams was to always have a tattoo. She always wanted a tattoo.
It was on her bucket list. Anybody see the movie Bucket List?
She was my age. She wanted a tattoo. So I knew a tattoo guy we'd been witnessing to, and he'd offered to do me a tattoo for half price. And so I went to him. I said, would you do my friend that's dying for half price? He said, yeah. So me and her, we went up there, and we got our tattoos. I'm telling you, the woman got so healed. She's off of hospice and has been for 2 years. The woman is still kicking, but she's got a tattoo.
But there's a reason for that. She's alive so she can prove that you're telling the truth, amen, that a 60-year-old woman would go out and get a tattoo. She came up, she said, now I might get a tattoo. She said, I've always wanted a little tattoo to put on my ankle, just a small one. So I thought, well, that's okay. I don't care about that. She comes in and flashes that tattoo on me, and I'm sitting in my chair. And the next morning, she come out, and I was still sitting in the same position. I never even...
off.
I couldn't believe it.
His cowboy boots were still on, his jeans, his belt, his shirt, and he was still in the chair, and I thought, oh, I've killed him, and I was shaking him.
I was married to a motorcycle mom.
I said, honey, are you mad at me? And he realized it. He said, well, no, I'm not, but he was just in such a shock. My kids were so shocked, but you know what? I'm old enough, you know, I don't care.
Who gives a rip?
Yeah, I like it. I like this. It's a rose. Your rose will bloom again. You know me. Your rose will bloom again.
That's her
deal.
Yeah,
everybody's got a rose blooming, and then I've got a little bud here, a little yellow bud. And so everybody has roses blooming, and then you've got one that's in a bud. You do. You guys have got a rose in a bud that's getting ready. It's budded. It's there. This rose that's coming to you too, and it's getting ready to come out there, and you're going to know it when it happens.
And let me say this.
It's like Sister Jerry.
It's going to be through relationships that you haven't made yet. And I think one of them is one of these connections that I'm hooking you up with. And I believe that those connections, that, you know, these relationships you're going to meet, you know people here, they know people there, and those connections are going to open up a lot of doors to both of you. Amen?
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. We love you all so much, and it's so wonderful. You just don't know the refreshing it is for us to be with... all these people. Richard and Bonnie and Dr. and Connie. And you know, if you start mentioning Nate, Barbara, you know, every one of you, every single one of you, we see you year after year after year. We've been together since Cody was a baby. He's 24. So that shows you how long we've been connected.
And is Gerald Rutherford still watching?
Yeah.
There? All right. Hi, Gerald. You always call Gerald. You say, why do you call him Jerry? Gerald. You would too if your wife's named Jerry. Amen. I just can't bring myself to calling him Jerry, you know. I guess I could call her Gerald and call him Jerry. Yeah, her name's Geraldine. Amen. Well, I've looked forward to this ever since I found out I was going to be here, and so far I've not been disappointed at all. Amen. Last night, you know, the list of those messages, and I don't know about you, but I got located in every one of those places. I've been a pioneer, I've settled, and I've been squatting here lately. Amen. So tonight I'm going to preach on prospecting and claim jumping. Amen. You know, I thought, you know, that's the way the body of Christ is. Really, you know, we go prospecting, digging for nuggets, grab one of those nuggets, and then a claim jumper comes along and grabs it and acts like it's his. But, you know, that's okay. I found out that whatever God gives you, it's for somebody else. It's not just for you, amen. If it's just for you, it wouldn't do no good, would it? And so whatever he gives you, you know, I told God one time, I said, God, don't ever tell me anything if you don't want me to tell it. And I can't even, you know, if God gives me a message for next week, I'll preach it 10 times before I get there. And I just the way I am, I can't help it. God showed me a little something today in the Word. After hearing Jim preach last night, every time I hear somebody like that preach, I think, what am I doing in the business? You know, I don't even have any business preaching. But I do know this, that when you listen to somebody preach, you're anointed to listen. And then when it comes your time to preach, you forget about whether you think you can or not. Amen, it's your time to preach. Amen. And so I learned that. Learned the hard way. I learned it right out here at camp meeting one time. There was a guy. I was a night speaker. Come on. Now Richard's a day speaker. He's going to keep me. But Jim and I are night speakers. We've been at it. We've been here, as Shirley said, you know, 3 days longer than dirt, and we deserve a night spot once in a while. But I was a night speaker at camp meeting that year, and I was listening to a day speaker that I had never heard before, and it was a big crowd there, but not as big as it was going to be at the night, you know. And I was going to speak at night, and I was listening to this guy, and I thought, oh man, that guy ought to be speaking tonight. I ought to be speaking today to this smaller crowd, because he was really. And so I wrote down in my Bible, and I've still got that Bible somewhere if it didn't burn one of my house fires. But, I wrote down on there. I said, God, please let me make you look good tonight. And you know what he said? He said, you better let me make you look good. You're the one that needs improvement. I've never forgot that. And so I decided, hey, if I look good tonight, it's because of him, praise God. And if he looks good tonight, it's because of him.
Amen.
Come on, it's not because of me. And God always looks good, doesn't he?
Amen.
God always looks good. So, since I'm a night speaker, I know you're expecting a lot out of me. So, as the old boy says, if you come expecting very little, you'll not be disappointed. Now, turn your Bibles to Hebrews. And before we get there, we're talking about unity. There's power and unity. Is that the power and unity?
Uh-huh.
And you know, that is so true. And Jim talked about this last night, you know, about when they were building the Tower of Babylon. I mean, you know, their imaginations and what they thought they could do, God had to change them.
Yes, sir.
He gave them all different languages.
Yeah.
One of them is English, and I'm still trying to learn that one so we can get along. But, you know, all the different languages they give them, and so that they couldn't go ahead and do what they was going to do. So it shows what you can do when you get together. One thing that the Bible tells us, that we have the mind of Christ. Every person in here has the mind of Christ. And you say, well, what does that mean? That means you're going to think like God. But in order to think like God, you got to know him. You got to get to know God. You know God, know God. Say this with me. I want to know God.
I want to know God.
Now, you know, most people's opinion of God is all they know about God is what somebody has said he is.
Yeah.
Somebody has told them what God is like.
Yeah.
Somebody's told them what makes God mad. Somebody's told them what makes God glad. Somebody's told them what makes God kill. And somebody's told them what makes God cause people to live. And all these different things that people's told about God. And they've never really checked it out with God himself.
Come on.
You know, he recorded his word so we'd know what he's like.
That's right.
We would know exactly what he's like. And not only that, he put his spirit inside of us crying out, Abba Father, amen, that our spirit can teach us he's like.
Yes, sir.
I don't know about you, but my daddy, when I was a child and being raised up, I had a tremendous fear of my daddy. I had a great respect for him, but the fear I had for him was not the kind of fear that God wants us to have for him. But I had a fear that if I did something wrong, he was going to punish me. And the reason I had that fear is because he did.
Yeah.
And I got punished quite often because I was a little rascal. Come on. I was a bad, bad, bad boy. We went back to our old school two weeks ago for our class reunion and our 50-year class reunion, and they've taken that old building and they've made it apartment houses out of it, except for the auditorium, and they've restored the auditorium for banquets. And that's where we were having our banquet. It was really great. And to look at that old building, the walls and stuff there, our lockers. They said, can you remember where your locker is? I said, I couldn't remember where it was when I was going to school here. I said, it's been 50 years. Are you kidding me? How many of you, have you ever had a dream where you were in your underwear in school trying to find your locker? Has anybody ever had that dream? Have you ever had a dream where you was trying to get to class and you couldn't get to class because you couldn't find your locker? I wonder why everybody has that same kind of dream. What's that mean, Prophet? I don't know. I don't know, but I've had dreams before where I was having to go someplace to preach and couldn't find a place where I was preaching. That happened to me one time here in Kentucky. I was in Lynchfield. And I was supposed to be there at a certain time, and I was driving as fast as I could go, Jerry and I were, and we didn't know what time the meeting started, and when we got there, we still didn't know what time it started. We went through the meeting and still didn't know what time the meeting started. That was the craziest place I'd ever been in my life.
We were at a different time.
But anyway, I've had those kind of dreams, you know. Well, when we were walking through the school there, and we got down by the principal's office, this little gal that was leading the tour, she'd never been to school there. She was a daughter of somebody that I used to coach in Little League Baseball. Or not a daughter, but yeah. And anyway, so we was going through there and they said, here's the principal's office. And I said, oh yeah, I remember that place. I spent more time there than I did class. That's why I didn't learn anything. But you know, that's my daddy was a strong disciplinarian. And he here's the way you did things. You never ask him why. You never ever questioned him. You never said, why? If he said you can't do this, you didn't say why. Yeah, I'll show you why.
Yeah.
And then you still didn't know why, but you knew not to say why anymore. And so that was my opinion of a father. But I would fantasize of a night, and I loved my daddy. Don't get me wrong, and I respect my father. But I would fantasize of having a father that was understanding. You know, that was not old fashioned. My daddy was 40 years old when I was born. My mother was 40 years old when I was born. And they'd had it. You know, they'd raised four kids before me, and they'd had it with the kid raising stuff. And so I was just there, you know what I mean? And my mother told me that I was an accident. I lived my life thinking I was an accident. Yeah. Until I got old enough to realize that those things don't happen by accident. Come on. Oops. I didn't know you were there. Oh, no. Somebody come to witness to me, and the guy that lived there had moved out, and we'd moved in, and they knocked on the door, and they said, what are you doing here? I said, I live here. They said, we didn't know you lived here. I got witnessed to by accident. Come on. But when I got saved, God assured me that it was on purpose and it was not an accident.
That's good. That's
and right. He had a plan for my life.
Thank you, God.
And He was that Father that I'd been fantasizing about, and there wasn't anybody in any behind any pulpit could tell me different about my Father. I knew my God loved me. I knew He cared about me, and I knew that He wasn't bringing anything hard on me, heavy on me, anything that I couldn't handle. My God didn't do that to me. Amen. And it wasn't until years later that I started studying the Word that I began to realize that my fantasy for my real earthly father was a reality about my real heavenly Father. Amen. And it wasn't a fantasy at all. It was the truth. That the Spirit was showing me that even before I was saved. So I loved my Father, amen, and I love my Heavenly Father. And because I love my Heavenly Father and understand the love my Heavenly Father has for me, I can understand now my earthly Father. And I begin to realize that I saw my earthly Father get saved on his deathbed. I was 19 years old. I was already an alcoholic, and my sister, who was a Catholic that wasn't a born-again confessing Catholic, she had married a Catholic man and went through the deal, and she got born again in one of my meetings years later. And she's in heaven now. But I saw her. My dad was laying on his deathbed, and he was laying there, and he was a good man. Nobody that ever knew my daddy would ever say that he was a bad man. He was a good man, hard-working man, strong man, big farmer, and honest as the day is long. And he wasn't a drunk like me and his other two sons were. He didn't do that. But when he was laying on his deathbed and he knew he was dying, he asked my sister, he said, Marianne, he said, what do I need to do to make my peace with God? You know, he had enough sense to know that. The only thing that he knew about church or anything is the culture people, the old-fashioned people back there were, if they were anything, they were hard-shelled Baptists. Now, hard-shelled Baptists is, I don't know why they call them hard-shell. I don't know. They all call them hard-head. But primitive Baptists is what they call them, and they're pretty primitive, I'll tell you that. They don't believe in predestination at all. They don't think that anybody can know that they're saved. But they do know this: if you're not baptized, you ain't making it. It don't make any difference what happens. And they'd even say, you know, if you had joined the church and you was on the way to the river to get baptized and you died, you was out. Getting baptized was like kind of putting your name in the hat. Come on. Now, it's no assurance that your name's going to get drawn out, but it's sure not going to get drawn out if it's not in there. And so baptism put your name in the hat. And that's all he knew about. And so he said, what do I need to do to make my peace with God? Because, see, an intelligent person, amen, that hasn't bought into that and says this is not salvation anyway, won't accept that when they're dying. You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah.
The only thing that somebody will accept when they're dying is something that they know is going to help them. Come on now. I mean, if it's no good when you're living, what good is it when you're dying? Come on. Some people say, well, I'll tell you what. I say, let me tell you something. What you believe may be all right to live by, but it's not any good to die by. Amen. I want something good to die by. I want to know, amen, that what I'm living by, amen, is keeping me when I die. Is anybody in here? How many of you know that it's a proven fact that 10 out of 10 people are going to die? Don't sit here and think you're putting it off. No, you're not putting off anything. It's coming. It's coming. I mean, the next time you see me, I could be dead.
That won't happen again.
No, and it won't happen again. If I drop over to dead night in this service, it'll be the first time it ever happened. But people get all these ideas about God, and they think they know God. But see, here's what God said in the New Covenant. Let me read it to you. I'm gonna start reading at the sixth verse of the eighth chapter of Hebrews, and I could read the whole book of Hebrews tonight, and almost teach it line for line. I love Hebrews. I love Romans. I love all. I love Galatians. I love all the books in the Bible, amen, that teaches about the difference in the covenants. I was saved for 7 years, never even heard the word covenant. I was in a church that preached salvation, and they preached it right. They preached salvation right. Believing in Jesus, you're saved by grace, not by works. And never heard one word about the covenants. And I'm here to tell you today, as a believer today, I believe that understanding and knowing the covenants is the most important thing you can know.
Amen.
To understand that there was an old covenant that God made with His people, amen, and as much as God loved His people, He put the keeping of the covenant on them, and they couldn't keep it.
No, they couldn't.
And so He had to make another one.
Right, right.
Because God loves people, amen. But you know, if He hadn't given them a chance to think that they could keep it. See, there's something in us that wants us to do something to get something.
Yeah.
I just can't believe that's free. That's too good to be true. How can this be happening? I'll tell you what, we haven't even tapped into the goodness of God. I don't believe that. I don't think that, I don't care how good we say He is and how good we believe He is, we still haven't tapped into the goodness of God. He's better than we could ever say. And words could ever tell. And I think the only time we'll find that out is when we get there, where my son is right now. He knows right now. The last conversation I had with my son on earth was, I said, Cody, or Kelly, I said, I could tell you the last conversation I had with Cody too, but you probably want to hear that one. But Kelly's my oldest, Cody's my youngest. I said, Kelly, I said, you need to put God first, son. You need to put Him first. He said, I do that, Dad. He said, there's not a day I wake up that I don't think about God. There's not a day that I don't pray to Him. There's not a day that I don't ask Him to help me. And I know that's true. I mean, my son, he didn't lie to me. But it's sad to say, and I'm not making excuses for my children. But it's sad to say that my children was brought up hearing the Word of God, understanding and knowing the love of God, and they couldn't find a church that they could go to. Come on. Somebody stopped in our church one time. They was there for about 3 or 4 months, and they had to, they were transit. They were working their job, moving to another place. And they asked me, they said, how do you find a church like this? I said, how do you find a church? He said, when you go to a church, he said, what do you look for? I said, if I was going to a church, I said, the first thing I would look for is for a pastor that loved God as much as I did or more.
There you go.
Amen. Because I can't listen to somebody, amen, run down my father.
Amen. Right. Right.
Come on.
Amen.
And if you're not telling the truth about Him, you're not talking about Him.
That's right. Yeah.
Yes. Come on. Amen. Is anybody listening to me?
Yeah.
God is love. So when you're talking about God, you better be talking about love.
Yeah.
You better be talking about how He feels about people, not the way you feel about Him.
Come on.
That's right. That's good.
Amen. We first got out to Missouri. We found out that Missouri got its name from the word misery. And we've turned it back. We took Revelation in reverse. Or revolution in reverse. Put it back. That's misery. When we first got out there, where was I? I'm talking about.
First got out to Missouri.
I know, but I can't remember what I was doing.
Couldn't find a church.
So I first got out to Missouri.
What is God?
What God's good? God's love. Oh, I had some people in the church there that I got in the church and there was people sitting around there, been in that church for years, never done nothing, and I'd look at them and God would show me, you know, they need something to do. They need something to do. These people are feeling useless and worthless, and so I picked out some of the older people there, and I had them get a newspaper and go through the newspaper and see in there where somebody was had lost a loved one or somebody was graduating from high school or someone had a baby or whatever, and we'd just drop them a card and say, you know, we're here for any spiritual guidance, any spiritual help we can give you. You know, we realize this is a busy time in your life right now, but if you ever need anything, and give them our phone number. My phone number. Well, I started getting phone calls. And I thought, what in the world have I done? And I went over to this one place, and this woman lived in a house trailer with a stove in it, with stuff stacked all around. I don't know how that place kept from burning. I don't know how in the world it kept from burning. She had a little old nasty dog running around there, and you could tell everywhere he'd been. She was in a wheelchair. Her husband had died. He was an invalid. And she'd been taking care of him and her in a wheelchair. She was an American Indian. And I said, and her name was Sister George. And I said, Sister George, I said, is there something I can do for you? And she said, yes. She said, could you throw some of that wood that's down underneath my porch, up on my porch where I can get to it to put it in my stove? I said, well, I can do that. And I got out there and I was throwing that wood. Now this may sound silly to you, but here, this is the way I learned things. I was out there throwing wood up on that porch. And I looked up the sky, and it was a winter day, and the sky was gray. And and the autumn leaves fall. Anyway, I throwing that wood up on the porch, and I looked up at that sky, and I was just thinking, oh, what have I done? Because I'd had about 3 results, and all of them had been these kind of people. You know, I mean, maintenance, high maintenance, always the kind that, you know. And I was throwing that wood up on there, and I said, oh, Lord, what about Sister George? He said, I love her. I said, well, then so do I. Just start throwing a wood up on her. Man, we got Sister George. She'd come to church. She'd come down the aisles of that fancy church I was in, the carpet about that deep, leaving tracks with her wheelchair. Her wheelchair wasn't like yours. She had to go through mud to get in there. And I'm telling you what, the dirt would just fall off them wheels. And she'd come down there, and she had a flag up on that thing. And then you'd see that flag. She'd stop that flag and go, ring, 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 ring. And then people sitting over there going, nah, nah. And I sat there saying, there she is, God. There she is. And every time I'd say it, he'd say, I love her. I still love her. I love her. Oh, I love Sister George. I'd go over and see her, and she was the happiest person in the church. She had less to be happy about than anybody that we had in our church, and she was the happiest one of the whole bunch. Amen. Because she loved God.
Yeah.
And she knew who her father was. Got a call one day, and they said, Sister George is sick. And I'd seen her not too long. Went down there, and the hospice worker was there. That's before I even knew anything about hospice. Jerry hadn't even started being a chaplain for hospice then. And the hospice worker was there, and she called me outside her, and she said, she's bad. She's really bad. She'd never complained, never said a word. Took her to a nursing home. She was there, 2 days, 3 days? And died. They called me in and said, would you do her funeral? I said, I'd love to. I wouldn't let anybody else. Got in there, and her family starts coming in, and they're normal. She had 2 or 3 sisters and brothers and grandkids, and they're all normal. And I thought, what the world? And she was different. That woman was different. But you know, sometimes you'll never know how much God loves you until you run into a Sister George.
Yeah.
And see what comes out of your heart. Because when that unconditional love starts flowing through you, it has to be come from Him.
Yeah.
That's when you're getting to find out what He's like. I went to that fancy church out there when I first got out there, and then people out there, you know, if it rained, if they walked outside and it rained, they'd have drowned. Their nose was turned up so high. Place was about half full. I said, you know what? I said, I'm going to fill this church. I said, God's going to fill this church. And I said, so you need to look around at these empty seats, and you better get some people in here that you want, because I said, you're not going to like the ones that I bring in here. And boy, that was true. We filled that place full. And you know what? It was the love of God that did it. It was the love of God. And you know, unity. Now, as I talk about that stuff, every one of you rises, your righteous indignation rises up, and you feel that feeling against being like them kind of people that would not want somebody like that. But you know, you need to examine yourselves. Because if we're ever going to unify, amen, around the things of God, it's got to be around the things of God.
Yeah.
It can't be unify the way we believe and the way we think. Now, in Ephesians 4, it talks about the gifts that has been given to the body of Christ to teach us and to bring the body of Christ into a full stature of Christ and the knowledge of Him, amen, into perfection. But then the one verse that I used to read all the time, and Brother Jim, I always thought, boy, if we come into unity of faith, as I knew how churches were and how many different beliefs and stuff they had. I thought that's going to take a long time for the church to ever unify in faith. But then one day I was reading that and the Lord showed me what that means. It's not talking about when we all agree about what we think about God. It's when we all agree about what God thinks about us. And I can give you some agreement tools here today. First of all, I can say this, and I'm going to tell you something. You need to all agree with this, because if you don't agree with it, it don't keep you from unifying with somebody else that does. It's just that you don't believe, period. God loves you. How many all believe that? Then that's unity of faith, amen, that God loves you. We can all agree that God loves us.
Right.
Amen. Here's another thing that we have to agree on. If you're going to know God, you got to know that God is never mad at you. God is never mad at you.
Right.
Come on.
That's right.
If you can agree with that, amen, now our faith is beginning to unify. You see what I'm saying? It's what God believes. It's what God thinks. Amen. It's what God is that unifies our faith. It's not what we are, or what we think, or what we believe.
Yeah.
Come on.
Amen.
It's what God believes about you. One of the scriptures in there, where Paul was talking, he says, now that you know God, or rather that God knows you. One place, you know, I hear these guys preaching all the time about all the terrible things that God does to them, and talks about all these terrible things that God does, and then they talk about, but I still love him. Well, you know, I have to question that. I have to really question that, because the Bible says if you love God, it's because he first loved you.
That's right.
How can you say you love God if you don't know he loves you? How can you know anything about that kind of love, amen, if you don't understand his love for you? We can't love each other without knowing that God loves us. You can't give away something you don't have. We can't forgive each other if we don't know that God forgives us. One of the scriptures that's been used to condemn people with and put guilt and condemnation on people is the scripture that says, if you don't forgive everybody, God won't forgive you. You know, that's true if you're living under the old covenant. But if you're living in the new one, the Bible says that we're to be kind to one another, tenderhearted to one another, forgiving one another, as God hath, for Christ's sake, forgiven us. He's already forgiven us. You can't give away something you don't have. I can forgive you because I'm forgiven. I can love you because I'm loved. Amen.
Right.
Hallelujah. That's unity of faith. And there is power in that. There's so much power in unity of faith. Amen. Knowing that love, that the love that's in you will overcome anything that's around you.
Yes, sir.
Amen. We got a slogan in our church that we say, God is always bigger than what's the matter. God's always bigger than what's the matter. Jesus is bigger than what's the matter.
Come on.
And My son Cody and I, he's in Indiana now, and they're not with us in Missouri anymore. And I'll send him a statement and half of a statement, and then he'll send me back the last part. And so I started the other day by saying, God is bigger, and he wrote back, then what's the matter? Or Jesus is bigger than what's the matter? And then I wrote him, if God be for us, and that was all I was going to say. I wasn't expecting him to finish that. He wrote back, who can be against us? And so I write, seek or knock or ask and it shall, knocking it and you what and it will, and seek and you shall. And he put down receive, open, and find. And it's just that quick, you know. He's quicker than I am. But you know, when you know God, when you know the things of God, know how God is, know what he's like. Now, I'm going somewhere with this. I've already wore some of you out already. The kids are crying. Okay. It's talking about the covenants here, starting with the 6th verse, the 8th chapter. It says, but now hath he ordained or obtained a more excellent ministry. It's talking about Jesus. It's talking about God. It's talking about... We got a more excellent ministry going here than before. This is talking about Moses and how God told Moses to do all these things, how to design the temple, and how There she is. All right. I always say there's that voice I've learned so well to love over these years. Now, so did you get that?
Yes.
For finding fault with them, he saith, behold, the days come, saith the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah. Not according to the covenant that I made with the fathers in that day when I took them by the hand and had led them out of Egypt, because they continued not in my covenant, and I regarded them not, saith the Lord. You know, the new covenant is not going to be based on whether you can keep it or not. I don't know about you, but I wouldn't have made it any better then than they did. I always say, you know, if I'd have been on that side of the cross, I wouldn't have made it. God knew that, so that's why I was born on this side of the cross. Amen. I needed it. I needed a Savior. And it says, now, for this is the covenant. Didn't say this might be, this could be, or maybe it could be. He says, this is the covenant. This is it. This is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, saith the Lord. I will put my laws into their mind and write them in their hearts, and I will be to them a God, and they shall be to me a people. You know, I used to read that and I'd think, well, now, here's what's going to happen. If I'm really a child of God, then all the laws of God are going to be wrote in my heart, and when I get ready to do something wrong, that law is going to come back up and remind me that I'm not supposed to do that. And the thou shalt not fully be living into me, amen, instead of me reading them, they'll be reading to me. And then finally I realized that he did away with the law. He did away with the commandments. And I thought, well, why in the world would he do away with the commandments and then write them in my heart and in my mind? And then one day I was over reading in the 7th chapter of Romans. Now, how many of you know what the 7th chapter of Romans is? 7th chapter of Romans, where Paul says, you know, I find within me, he said, something that wants to serve God, but then I find something else in me that don't want to serve God, and I'm just a mess. I'm trying to serve God out of flesh like I used to do when I was under the law, but he said, I can't find myself doing that anymore, and the law came and it slayed me, and he's talking about all these things, but then he says, oh, but thanks be to the Lord Jesus Christ. He said, who can deliver me from this body of death, this old wicked man that I am? Who can deliver me from this body of death? Now, in the 7th chapter of Romans, when you decide that here's the standards that I'm going to live by, and I'm going to keep these standards, and in myself I know as long as I'm keeping these standards, I'm going to be all right with God. And you strapped a dead man to yourself.
Yes.
You'll never make it. It's like trying to lose weight. Amen. Man, I went on a 3-week diet one time. Lost 21 days. I stood up in the Baptist church one time when I was trying to quit smoking cigarettes, and I thought, you know, if I set a standard for myself, it would help me. So I had quit smoking at that time from between Sunday school and church. And so I stand up and I said, if you ever see me smoke again, you'll know I'm going right straight to hell.
Lord help
him. Well, that standard, that dead man, I carried that thing around on me for 3 years. 3 years without smoking. Wanted a cigarette for 3 years. But I was afraid one of them Baptists would see me and I'd go to hell. Me and Jerry was at the Cordon Fair. If you're from up there, it's a Cardon Fair. The Cardon Fair in Indiana. And we was at the Cordon Fair, and a race was going on, and Jerry was over there going through the home economics building, looking at all the sewing and stuff, you know. That's really something to take to a fair. Come on. And she was over looking at that, and I slipped over and I bought me a pack of cigarettes. I just had it. I couldn't handle it no more. I bought me a pack of cigarettes. I used to smoke them Camels, little short Camels, you know, with no filler on them. And before you take a drag, it just boring, knock the stand your hair up on the back of your head. And I was afraid if I got one of them, it'd be too strong after not smoking for 3 years. So I got me a Viceroy. And that's just a Reynolds cigarette with a Reynolds tobacco cigarette with a filter on it, and I got me a Viceroy, and I walked out there at the edge of that racetrack, and I leaned down there, and I looked around, and I didn't see a soul that I seen. There wasn't any of those Baptists down there, and I put that cigarette in my mouth, and I'm telling you, that cigarette seemed like it was that long. It seemed like it was getting out there, heading off the horses on that track. And I struck that match, and that match didn't go, it went. And I condemned myself to hell. I condemned myself to hell by setting standards for myself. And then I felt guilty because I cheated on my wife, amen, that I'd smoked. And I got back over there, and I got to tell her about it and find out she'd been sneaking around smoking. We were both going to hell. Come on. That's what Paul was experiencing in the seventh chapter. You know that people go in the seventh chapter of Romans and they never get out of it?
Yeah.
They never graduate to the eighth.
Yeah.
Paul graduated. He wasn't telling us a place to stay. He was telling us a place to get out of. Amen. He was saying, don't get bound up with all these standards that people set for you and tell you all these things that you have to do to be right with God. He said, the only one that can deliver you is Jesus. And the law that he writes in your heart is the law of life in Christ Jesus. He wrote that law in my heart and in my mind. Is anybody listening to me? That's the covenant that he made with me. He wrote that law in my heart and in my mind. And that's why you can say, I know I'm saved. Why? Because there's a law in my heart, in my mind that has set me free from the law of sin and death. That's powerful stuff. That's the new covenant. That's what he made with us. He wrote that law in our mind and our heart. Listen to what else it says. I love this. This gets better. For this is the covenant that I will make with them. I'll write the law in them. Now here it is. And I was looking at this today. Now if I can get this out of me the way God put it into me, somebody can say amen. I usually practice all my messages on Jerry. No, I don't. She never knows what I'm going to preach, and sometimes she gets up after me and says, I didn't know he was going to preach that. If I had him, I wouldn't let him preach it. Okay, now he says, and they shall teach every man his neighbor, and then they shall not teach every man his neighbor and every man his brother, saying, know the Lord, for all shall know me from the least to the greatest. Now, what he's saying here is that there's not going to have to be somebody telling you what God's like anymore. Are you listening to me? You don't have to listen to somebody tell you his opinion of God.
All right.
You're not going to have to tell that to everybody, because here's how they're going to know me. If they're going to know me, he said they're going to know me like this. Their sins and iniquities I'll remember no more, and I'll be merciful to their ungodliness. Unrighteousness. Amen. That's how they're going to know me. If you don't know God that way, you don't know Him.
Amen.
And we'll never unify in faith with the ones that do. You understand what I'm saying? That's the way He wants us to know Him. We was talking about this last night. You know, the Bible says the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God, strength, through being deep, and all that stuff. Pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations, and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. Not your knowledge, God's knowledge. God knows who He is. You know, when you stand up to the devil, it's like, I'm convinced of this. The devil knows God. The Bible says the devil knows Him, and the devils know Him and tremble.
Yeah.
Remember the story of that when all the miracles and things was going on, and these guys, the sons of Sheba, decide they're going to go cast out some devils. Uh-huh. They were the sons of a Jewish priest. And they knew that devils was being cast out by Paul and seeing all these miracles. So they go over and they're going to cast out some devils. Well, the devil, see, the devil knows God.
Right.
He knows Him. Mm-hmm. And he knows he has to yield to Him. But he's going to test you to see if you do. They said, well, they said, we adjure you in the name of Jesus that Paul preaches. And they said, we know Jesus and we know Paul. But who the heck are you? And beat him up and run him down the street naked. That'd be good, wouldn't it? See, it's a good thing to know God. It's a good thing for you to know Him.
Right.
And if you're going to know Him, amen, you've got to know Him the way He says that you're going to know Him. And here's the way you know Him. Here's the way I know God. You know, if I didn't know anything else about God than this, I would know more than probably 85% of the Christians, that He is merciful to my unrighteousness and my sins and iniquities. He will remember no more.
Amen.
That's how you'll know Him.
Yes.
Are you getting this? I don't think I'm getting this out of me the way I'm putting it in me. If you're going to know God, this is what you have to know about Him. Amen? That's the way He wants to be known.
Right.
Is that good or what? Or maybe it's just not that good, and I'm just saying it is, and everybody's agreeing with me because they feel sorry for me.
That's good, brother. That's awesome.
But what a covenant. What's our part in all these greater promises? Man, we're just in for the ride. Amen. I tell you what, I have just received what God has done for me. Amen. And you know, everything that He done for me was everything that God did for me, there was no way possible that I could have done them for myself. So if there was no thing that I could do for myself to get where I am with God, then why in the world would I try to do something, amen, to stay there?
Right.
Come on.
Amen. It's good preaching.
You know, that's what people do. I will be merciful to their unrighteousness and their sins and iniquities I'll remember no more.
There you go.
In that He saith, a new covenant He hath made the first old.
Yep.
Now that which decayeth and waxeth old is ready to vanish away. Well, I'll tell you what. I think I preached a message down here one time, and I had two containers up here, and had two empty containers, and then I started putting stuff in the one over here. And if you can just visualize that, and in this old covenant, you know, was the law and rules and regulations and ordinances and all the sacrifices and all these different things that was over here, and then all at once, I'm in the middle of that thing right there, and there's not one thing in there that can save me. Not one thing that can save me. Matter of fact, those things right there is the things that's keeping me in darkness.
Yes. Yeah. Yes.
And then one day Jesus comes, amen, and He grabs me out of that, out of darkness, and puts me over into His light. And this is a brand new place. This is a brand new position for me. And now I'm over here and I'm positioned in this thing in the light with Jesus. And you know, I can't bring one thing out of that one and put it in this one, except me. I'm the only thing that can come out of that old covenant and go into the new one, and the new one remain new. Amen? Because if I bring something out of there and bring it over here, I rent the new one.
Amen.
So where's works come in? Where does works come in to a person who's standing, believing God, amen, and receiving all this wonderful mercy and all this grace? Where's it come in? Well, the Bible says that we're to study to show ourselves approved unto God, a workman that meaneth not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. So when you rightly divide the word of truth, I studied that one day, and I don't know if I've ever shared this here or not, but I studied that one day, and I wasn't sure. I told God, I don't know nothing. All I know is what somebody had told me about God. I had taught Sunday school two or three times, and all I did was read a quarterly. And I didn't even understand what that thing was saying. And I'd read it, and everybody's class sat there and nodded their head, and they didn't know either. And I studied that, and I said, Lord, I don't know where to write and divide the word of truth. And He said, turn to John 10:10. And I didn't know what I was going to see when I got there. But God spoke it to me. God said, turn to John 10:10 in my Bible. I turned to John 10:10, and when I got there, I read the verses, and I was familiar with them. It says, The thief cometh not but for to steal, kill, and destroy, but I am come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. He said, draw a line between the two and don't ever get them mixed up. And you know, Jim, when God shows you something like that, that's the rhema of God, and that's something that the devil can't steal from you.
Amen. Right.
He can never steal it. And I've had people say, but don't you think sometimes? No, I don't. I never do.
Come on.
You do, maybe, but I don't. And there's lots of other people who will agree with you, but I don't agree with you that God never puts anything ill-fitting on me, ever. Never. Amen?
Amen.
He came to give me life and give it to me more abundantly. Yes. That's the side I believe, amen. That's where I write and divide the truth. And that's what causes me to work. I work, amen, because I have God's favor. I never work trying to gain God's favor. Amen. As if you work because you have God's favor, I was telling Jim this tonight, I said, you know, one, if you're working to gain God's favor, that's works of the flesh. If you're working because you have God's favor, that's works of faith. And one will set you on fire and the other will burn you up. Or out. There's a lot of burnout Christians because they've been doing the wrong thing.
Yes.
Amen. They've been trying to gain something they've already got. Andrew Womack's got a teaching out called You've Already Got It. He stole the picture off of me. Stole the title off of me. He stole a lot of stuff. Claim jumper. I was a prospector. I got the nugget. He stole it. Claim jumper. And what it is a dog chasing his tail. And I saw this one time. I was preaching to a group of people. I looked out there at them and I could tell they was hungry as wolves. And they was just work, 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 doing all this stuff. And I said, you know, God wants me to tell you something. I said, you're like a bunch of dogs. And, well, they didn't like that. I said, no, wait a minute. I said, you're like a dog chasing his tail. If you just stop and look, you've already got a hold of it on one end. You don't need to get a hold of it again, praise God. But if you get on that treadmill, I'm going to tell you something. If you get on a treadmill of doing the things that the devil tells you you have to do to be right, what does the devil know about being right with God?
Nothing.
Like you said, who told you that was a mountain? Who's the one that told you that? If you get on that treadmill, Satan will pay your light bill. He'll see to it you've got plenty of juice. Come on, chasing after something you've already got. Begging God for something that's already yours. Come on, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Rightly dividing the word of truth. You know, the Pharisees come to Jesus after they've been seeing Jesus do all these miracles and blind eyes is opening up, and they said, well, what do we need to do the works of God? He said, believe on him whom he has sent. Yeah. Well, that's a tough one, isn't it?
Yeah.
I mean, what can we do? How do I do the works of God? Believe on Jesus.
Yeah.
You've never done anything anyway. Believe on Jesus. Jim and I are talking about you know, so many times when you open the New Testament and you start reading the teachings of Jesus, and people take that and put themselves in bondage with it and condemn themselves because Jesus wasn't teaching grace, amen. He was teaching the law. He wasn't teaching the new covenant. He was teaching under the old covenant.
That's right.
And everything that he taught set people up to receive the new covenant.
Yes.
We've talked about this before, you know, the eye plucking and hand chopping service. Gerald's been in one of them. He had one of them down here, didn't you, one day, Gerald? And but, you know, Jesus was saying, hey, he's talking about these things, and Jesus took the law, which you know, let's say that Jesus, the law was this long when Jesus came, and Jesus just slammed the door on it. He made the law so impossible to keep that he took it right to the intent of the heart. You couldn't just keep it on the surface. See, there's a lot of us in here. How many of you, you know, we always act good when we're in public, don't we?
No.
I'd hate to follow some of you home and see how you act.
Come on.
Well, the first scripture, what message I ever preached was about Jesus going about doing good. I said, you know, you can sit around and be good. There's a difference between being good and doing good, amen. Being good only involves you. Doing good involves somebody else.
Right.
Yeah. And so, Jesus took the law and he took it right to the intent of the heart. He said, you say it's wrong to murder. He said, I say you've already committed murder if you're talking about somebody. You say it's wrong to commit adultery. He said, I say to you that you've already committed adultery if you've ever looked on anybody with lust. And then why would right after that would he say, if your hand offends you or your eye offends you, pluck it out. Pluck out your eye and hand and cast it away from you. Pluck out your eye, bling, throw it away, and your hand, boom, throw it away. Cast it away from you. Because he said it'd be better to go into heaven maimed than into hell whole. Now, do you think that he literally meant that? And there's people that use that to condemn people, but they never have a hand chopping or an eye plucking service. Come on, they're hypocrites. Come on, let's go for it. See, them's the things that people like to talk about and they like to hold things over you. But I'm going to tell you something. They don't know God when they're talking about stuff like that. They don't understand and know the God of the new covenant. They don't understand. God's the same God of the new covenant it was the old one. It's just made by better promises with somebody else keeping it.
Yeah, that's right.
Amen? See, the new covenant was not made between you and God. The new covenant was made between God and Jesus.
Yeah. Right.
Amen. I like to say it this way. You know, it's foolproof, and he made it that way so us fools couldn't mess it up.
Exactly right.
Amen.
Amen. That's good.
Thank you, Jesus.
Oh, yeah.
We can unify around that, can't we?
Yes, sir.
We can unify around the goodness of God.
Amen.
Man, we can unify around that. Don't ever let anybody tell you that God is doing these terrible things. Oh, I'd like to get into some politics here. But I won't.
Oh, thank
I will say this.
Come on.
God does not put people in office. God made the offices, amen, and the offices are there to honor. But people put people in offices. How many of you know that?
Come on,
people put people in offices. Now it's our place to pray for them when they're there.
Right.
Amen.
Yep.
And I know some presidents have had a lot more prayer than others. They should have had.
Let's talk about that covenant.
Well, let's talk about that covenant. Thank you, Jesus. Well, glory to God.
Praise God.
I had an English teacher named Edna Tieford. Edna Tieford taught my daddy English. She'd been there at that school for I don't know how many years. She was an old maid school teacher. Furnished that country with a lot of good cars. No. And you get that directly. But anyway, she knew English. It was proper. I mean, she was proper. She knew the English book. When she'd tell you what she was going to teach, she'd tell you where to turn in the English book, and she had the English book memorized. She didn't even open her book. And she'd start telling you, and you'd look in the book, and there it was. I mean, she knew what was on the English book. And I always thought, man, if I could just have Edna Tieford sitting on my shoulder, you know, and when I wanted to say something, I could say it right. Because
yeah.
She'd be coaching me how to say it.
Sure.
She never smiled. The only time I ever seen her laugh in my life was we had some people move in from Buckhorn, Kentucky. Anybody know where Buckhorn, Kentucky is? No. You ought to. It's in your state. Come on, Buckhorn. Down by Hazard. And this guy moved in and I guess down there when they recognize a student, instead of raising their hand, they'd stand up. And so we was in our class, and Miss Tieford, she'd do her hands like this. She's sitting behind her desk, and she said, okay, people. She said, get your pens and paper, pencils and paper. She said, we're going to have a little spelling test. And so Donald Spencer, he stood up, and he said, Mrs. Tieford. And she said, Oh, Donald. She said, not Mrs. It's Miss. He said, Miss Tieford? He said, yes, Donald. He said, Hank got an airy pencil. I thought she was going to have a heart attack. I mean, I'm pretty dumb, but I know it's not Hank not. There is Hank not done, right? Anyway, he said, She said, Oh, Donald. Said, Hank, she said, not Hank got Nary. He said, Hank got no. And she lost it. Edna Tieford lost it. Well, I'm convinced that inside of us, the Holy Ghost is a Edna Tieford when somebody is saying the wrong things about God. Oh, not Hank got married, no. Amen. Now that's the way I feel. When somebody is selling something about God, if they're talking about the God that I know, I get so excited I can't sit still. Amen. If they're telling me something about God I hadn't heard before that's better than what I'd already heard, I don't sit still. Amen. But if I hear somebody in there trying to strap a dead man on me, I shut down. And that's why it says, know God. There won't have to be somebody to teach you and tell you, amen. You're going to know God. You're going to know when somebody is saying something about God, whether they're telling you the truth or not.
Amen.
Right. Amen. You've got a built-in knower. Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, God.
Is that true or what? How many has ever got excited about somebody talking about God, and maybe you've never heard it before, but you know that they're telling you the truth because something inside of you, amen, is bearing witness with it.
Right. Yep. Sure.
The first time I really started hearing this strong grace message, my wife was sitting beside me. I didn't want to go to the meeting we went to. She drugged me there. I didn't want to go. She's always been smarter about things like that than I have. She's always telling me, you need to go to this meeting, you need to do this meeting. I don't want to go. And every time I go, I get blessed. And I was sitting there, and I was listening to this guy, and he started talking. And directly she looked over at me, and she kicked me on the foot, and she said, what are you doing? I said, I feel like I'm sitting at the feet of Jesus. I said, this guy is saying stuff that I have known before I was even saved about God. I'm knowing these things about my Father, amen, since before I had that stuff in me. And every once in a while, I'd try to preach it, and I'd get shut down by people who knew God.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Amen?
Oh, yeah.
But you know what? I don't get shut down no more.
Because
I know God.
Yeah.
I know Him. Nobody has to tell me what He's like. I can tell you what He's like.
Come on.
He's merciful to your unrighteousness and your sins and iniquities. He will remember no more.
Right.
Amen? Thank you, Jesus. Yeah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Anybody in here need to be born again tonight? As I was preaching, I didn't see anybody that looked like they did, but you can always tell by looking at people. Amen. What about baptized in the Holy Ghost? Everybody in here baptized in the Holy Ghost?
Come on.
We always usually get somebody baptized in the Holy Ghost when we're down here, don't we? Maxine.
You need to speak in tongues.
Everybody in here that's baptized, that you've asked for the baptism and you haven't received your prayer language, where you can speak in tongues? Come on. Anybody? Why does everybody get quiet when you start talking about things like that? You know, we're in a church that's crazy. We're in a church that's done this for years. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Anybody receive anything tonight?
Yes.
Somebody tell me what you received. No.
Amen. The word of truth.
Amen. The word of truth.
Line
between the word of truth. Amen. Another thing the Lord showed me about that. I studied that one time, that same scripture, and it says that, you know, study to show yourself approved. And I used to think, boy, if I'll just read, God will approve of me. But then I began to realize it says study to show yourself that you have God's approval.
That's right.
Amen. That's what you're studying. You're studying to show yourself that you have got God's approval. Amen. I'm approved of God. Hallelujah.
Right.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Anyone need prayer for anything? Thank you, Jesus. Is anybody going to leave here with anything? Dr. Jim, if you got a word for anybody. You know, I've been teaching grace and ministering grace, and I was thinking when I used to come here, Gerald, and say, well, I know Clifton's going to preach on one or two things, marriage or soul winning. And then I started preaching on grace, and then I haven't preached on marriage or soul winning. But I preach grace. But you know what? I don't think grace is a message. I think it's the message. That's the message of the gospel. It's the gospel. And when you begin to understand that, and I don't think you can preach enough about it, and the reason I wanted to talk about those covenants today is because the Lord's just been refreshing that in my mind, and I was thinking about how you know what Jim was talking about last night. You know, if we're not established to know who we are and where we are, you know, we will settle. We'll just settle for whatever comes down the road. But if we know who we are, and if we know it's because of Jesus, not because of us, there's nothing can stop us. There's nothing can stop us. And so, you know, I was challenged by that message last night. I know we're going to be challenged again tomorrow. And I hope you receive something tonight. But you know, the whole thing is Jesus. It's all about Him. Yes. And I know people say it all the time, but it's all about Jesus. It really is about Him. When our son got killed, you know, I had some questions. I had a lot of questions. But, you know, I never went to God with them. I've never questioned God. I have never asked God why. I've never done that. And I thank God that I'm kind of that away. I've wanted to a few times, but I've thought, you know, I don't understand a lot of stuff. And I thought, you know, if I ask Him why, and if He could explain that to me, do you think I'd still understand it? I wouldn't understand that. I wouldn't understand. There's nothing that God could say to me that would make me understand why my son's dead. You understand what I'm saying? But He's already said enough to me to know that I can trust Him. And that's what I do. I trust God. And I'll always trust Him. Because He's never done anything but good for me. Amen?
Amen.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Come here, honey. Stand beside me here just a minute. I'm gonna go ahead and dismiss and turn it back over to you, Shirley, or whatever. But I feel like that there's someone that my wife and I could pray for you, maybe for a broken heart. I feel like that there's someone here that, you know, that your heart just hurts and it's broken, and I know what that feels like. But I also know that the Bible said that He sent us to mend up the brokenhearted, and I believe that we can do that with each other. That's the unity of faith. You know, the Bible says that when we hurt, you know, or cry, we cry one another, and when someone's crying, we cry with them. When someone's laughing, we laugh with them. And that's what the body of Christ is all about. That's what it's about. We'll have Shirley go ahead and dismiss, and if you want us to pray, we'll be up here to pray for you. And God bless you. We love you.
Amen.
Yeah.
Three D words were disaster, destruction, and devastation. And it shook me when he said it. And I remember I told my husband about it immediately, and I wrote the three words down. And immediately I went to the Father and I said, okay, God, what are you saying about disaster, destruction, and devastation? And he said this: because of the covenant, my children should never be taken off notice. When disaster, destruction, or devastation tries to come, Daddy God always wants to give his kids the heads up. We should never be taken off guard by the tactics of the enemy that would try to shut you up and shut you down and get you to back off. Amen. And I know by the Spirit of God tonight that there are those here that you have been facing disaster, destruction, and devastation. Amen. And the enemy just wants you to hold it to yourself. Because what happens when you begin to bust out of that and say, yes, that's me. One, you're coming into unity with the Spirit of God. Amen. Come on now. You're coming in unity with your church, the family that God's placed you in. You're coming in unity with a covenant that's going to bring the power and the ability to break. Come on now. Disaster, destruction, and devastation. Amen. So don't isolate yourself tonight. Don't go back home the way you came. There is no need for it. Amen. He came that you would have life and have it more abundantly. He loves you so much that he will do whatever it takes just to get to you. Amen. All he's asking is that you cooperate with him. Come on now. Amen. You got to cooperate with him. He's not going to just push it on you. Amen. So tonight, here's the call. He's sounding the alarm. Amen. If you are tonight, you felt like, and you've been going through disaster, destruction, or devastation, then you need to get up here. That thing needs to be broken off of you. You need to go out of here with freedom and liberty, knowing Daddy God's got you, everything that concerns you. Amen. He's watching after his word to perform in your life. Amen. He's a God and he will not lie. He is a just God. He loves you so much. Amen. So what is unity? Come on, it's the covenant. Amen? So if that's you, come on. Don't you hesitate. Don't you stay paralyzed in that place. Amen? Tonight is your night of freedom. Don't leave the way you came.
And that's what the enemy wants you to do, is to isolate yourself. How many has been in the place where you've got, and first of all, let me say that there's nothing that's happened, the devastation, destruction, it hasn't taken God by surprise. And when I got that revelation one time that whatever has happened in my life, that it has not taken Daddy God by surprise. He already knows that it's happened. He already knows that what's going to happen. And how many of you have been through something? The first thing the enemy wants you to do is for you to stay home and stay out of the house of God and stay away from fellowship, because the enemy knows the power of unity. So that's why you have to rise up, get yourself to the house of God. Find you somebody that can agree with you in prayer, because there's power in that unity. And that's what Pastor Connie was talking about, isolating. He wants you to isolate yourself. He wants you to keep your mouth shut. He wants you to think that you're the only one that's going through this thing. He wants you to believe that it can't be overcome, but it can be, because it's already been overcome through the blood of Jesus. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus.
Let's do that song again. You won't leave here like you came. Okay. Hallelujah. Yeah, come on. Come on. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Come on, church. Let's just worship the Lord while they're ministering to these people. Hallelujah. Let's not let this time be wasted, and let's encourage the Spirit of God in moving by worshiping our Savior Jesus Christ. All the musicians and singers that are here, you're welcome to come on up. Hallelujah. Glory, glory, glory. Bless the Lord. Bless the Lord. Hallelujah. If you don't know the song that we're singing, I want you to lift your hands, and I want you to put your hands out towards these people that you're getting ministered to, and just start praying in the Holy Ghost, man. Just start praying in tongues and let the Spirit of God minister. Go ahead when you're ready, brothers. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Sick or lame, for the Holy Ghost of Acts is still the same. You won't leave here like you came in Jesus' name. Let's all sing, I won't leave here. I won't leave here like I came in Jesus' name. Bound, oppressed, tormented, sick or lame, for the Holy Ghost of Acts is still the same. And I won't leave here like I came in Jesus' name. Sing it again. I won't leave here. I won't leave here like I came in Jesus' name. Come on, I know you believe it tonight. Bound, oppressed, tormented, sick or lame. Come on, the Holy Ghost of Acts is here tonight. He wants to do miracles. For the Holy Ghost of Acts is still the same. And I won't leave here like I came. Now I want to say something to those of you who have already been ministered to and had hands laid upon you. I want to encourage you, stay up here and worship God. Listen, we get in such a rush sometimes. This is camp meeting tonight. Just, even if you've already gone back to your seat, if you just want to come back up and let the Holy Ghost minister to you some more, listen, you can't ever get enough of the Holy Ghost. You can never get enough of the Holy Ghost. The presence of God in you wants to rise so strongly. So I want to encourage you, and even if you don't want prayer tonight, if you just want a touch from the presence of God, I want you to come up here and find a place at the altar. Just find a place. Stand in front of the altar. Kneel in front of the altar. Or stand up here somewhere. Come on, anybody who just wants to experience a fresh revelation from the presence of God tonight, I want to encourage you to come on up. Even if you've had hands laid on you already, just come on up and experience. Come on. Listen, the presence of God is powerful tonight. He's doing some awesome things here. He's wanting to radically change some things in your life. Just come on and say, Holy Ghost, just do in me what you want to do in me. For the Holy Ghost of Acts is still the same. Come on, say, I won't leave here. I won't leave here like I came in Jesus' name. Oh, I won't leave here. I won't leave here like I came in Jesus' name. Bound, oppressed, tormented, sick or lame, for the Holy Ghost of Acts is still the same. I won't leave here like I came in Jesus' name. Sing it again. I won't leave here. No, no. I won't leave here like I came in Jesus' name. No, I won't, church. You won't leave here like you came. Bound, oppressed, tormented. Oppressed, tormented. Sick or lame.
is still the same, and I won't leave here like I came in Jesus' name. Come on, let's sing it again. Well, I won't leave here like I came in Jesus' name. Come on, church, you're not going to leave here like you came, bound, oppressed, tormented, sick, or lame. For the Holy Ghost of Acts. Come on, Sister Miriam, sing the lead on this one. Sing it again. Can you get more volume on your mic? Right, sis. That's right. Come on. Oh my. That's right, sister. The anointing of God is on you, Miriam. He's in you. He's flowing through you right now. Sing it again, Sister Miriam. Lead us in it again.
I won't leave here like I came in Jesus' name.
Worship team, let's sing it to the church congregation tonight. You won't leave here.
You won't leave here like you came in Jesus' name.
Bound, oppressed, tormented.
Bound, oppressed, tormented, sick or lame.
We're not leaving the same way we came, are we, Brother Bobby?
For the Holy Ghost of Acts is still the same, and I won't leave here.
I'm sorry, let's sing it again to the congregation. Come on, worship team, sing it with me. You won't leave here. You won't leave here.
You won't leave here like
hallelujah. Come on, church. Isn't he good today? Isn't the Holy Ghost good today?
Bound, oppressed, tormented, sick or lame. For the Holy Ghost of Acts is still the same. And you won't leave here like you came in Jesus' name.
Oh, you won't leave here. Now I want you to grab the hand of the person next to you if you're sent by somebody, or go stand by them. I want you to get a hold of somebody, and I want you to actually look at them and say, you won't leave here today like you came in Jesus' name. Come on, let's be a little bit bold tonight. Come on, let's be a little bit bold tonight. Let's just be a little bit bold tonight. You're not basing it on how you live and how you act anyways. You're basing it on the Holy Ghost of Acts, on what he says. So look at somebody. Grab their hand. Look at them and say, you won't leave here like you came in Jesus' name. Come on, it's time to shake off all apathy. Come on, let's shake it off. Turn around and look at him and say, you won't leave here like you came in Jesus' name. You tell him that. Anybody say it to you yet? You're not going to leave here like you came tonight in Jesus' name. You're not going to do it. I'm not going to let you do it.
and the Holy Ghost is not going to let you do it. Come on, He wants to do some mighty things in you. He wants to move mightily in you tonight. Don't leave like you came in Jesus' name. You're not a bad person. You're a good person. You've got the power and the presence of God inside of you. But how many of you know God wants to do even greater things inside of you, each one of you?
Leave here like you came in Jesus' name.
Let's sing it again. You won't leave here.
Oh, you won't leave here like you came in Jesus' name.
Bound, oppressed.
Bound, oppressed, tormented, sick or lame.
Why? Why is that? Because we're such good people?
For the Holy Ghost.
That's right. That's right.
Is still the same.
That's right, sister. That's right.
You won't leave here like you came in Jesus' name.
Hallelujah. Let's just keep worshiping the Lord. Come on.
Oh, I won't leave here like I came in Jesus' name.
Lift your hands to heaven and sing it to the Lord now.
Bound, oppressed, tormented, sick or lame, for the Holy Ghost of Acts is still the same.
Did He heal in the book of Acts? Did He? Then you're not going to leave here like you came tonight in Jesus' name. Come on, church. Come on, let's get our faith up here. Come here, Pastor Benita.
I won't leave here like I came.
Come on, church.
Jesus'
name.
Bound, oppressed, tormented, sick or lame. For the Holy Ghost, the facts is still the same.
Oh, hallelujah. Well, let's just start. Just listen. Let's just worship the Lord freestyle. You know what freestyle is? That's Holy Ghost style. Hallelujah, Lord, we worship You. Come on, just lift up your voice. Worship team, just keep the same chord theme going. You can go into a two chord progression, brother, if you want, or stay in a single chord, brother Ronnie. But go ahead and just lead us in that. Hallelujah, Lord, we worship You, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You know, if you're believing God for a healing tonight, you need to start worshiping Jesus tonight as your healer. Just say, thank You, Jesus, You're my healer. Thank You, Jesus, You're my healer. I worship You, Jesus, as my healer. I worship You. Lord Jesus, I worship You. I worship You as my Savior. Hallelujah. Jesus, I worship You. I worship You, Lord. Oh, Jesus, we lift up our voices in the unity of the Spirit tonight. Hallelujah. 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 Oh, Jesus, we worship You. Come on, don't stop worshiping the Lord. Let the anointing of the Holy Ghost flow through the musicians. Just receive that. Just receive that. All you've got to do is receive. You don't have to do anything. Just receive. Just receive tonight. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Holy, holy, hallelujah.
Come on, let it enter in.
Holy, holy, hallelujah. Jesus, 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 hallelujah. Lord, I worship you with all my heart and soul. Oh, Jesus, you are worthy, you are worthy.
Come on, church, make up your own psalm. Make up your own psalm tonight.
You are worthy, and I am so grateful, Lord, for all you've done for me. My heart overflows, oh Lord, with my heart overflows, oh Lord. I'm so grateful for your mercy. Come on, church. Aren't you thankful for the mercy of our God? It's everlasting. Come on. Oh, your mercy, Lord, is greater than Adair County. Come on, come on. Oh, your mercy, Lord, is more expansive than Kentucky. Hallelujah.
You see, it's easy to worship the Lord. You just sing what's in your heart.
Lord, your mercy is overflowing us tonight. We're in your glory. Come on, church. Oh, your mercy, Jesus, Lord, is overflowing. And we find ourselves in the midst of your glory. And Lord, there's no other place I'd rather be than in your glory. There's no other name I'd rather speak than Jesus. There's no better friend to me than my Savior, my Jesus. There's no greater, no better healer in all the earth than my Jesus. Well, there's no better marriage counselor in all the earth than my Jesus. There's no better lover of my soul and my body and my mind and my spirit, man, than my Jesus.
Keep going.
Well, Jesus, we're gonna go beyond where we are into all of your glory. But I'm not waiting to heaven, church. I experience the glory of the Lord here on the earth. In the old covenant, he said, I'll not give my glory to another. But I'm telling you, in the new covenant, he said, I'm filling you with my glory. Let's stop limiting God tonight. Jesus, 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 we receive your glory. Hallelujah. Oh, Jesus, Jesus, we receive. Keep playing. Come on, church, just keep. The one who sets you free, who makes you walk in victory. He's the one who said, I am the way, the truth, the life. I am whatever you need me to be. He's the great I am, great I am, great I am, great I am, whatever you need him to be. There is no lack in our God. There is no lack in the kingdom of our heavenly Father. Holy, holy, holy. Would you just lift your hands and sing with me tonight? Holy, holy. Let's just worship the Lord together. Holy, 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 holy. Holy, holy. Holy, 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 oh yes you are, holy, 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 Lord, holy, 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 Lord. Hallelujah. Holy, holy, holy. Key of F. Let's just do that old chorus. He is Lord. He is Lord. He is risen from the dead and he is Lord. Don't.
every tongue confess
that Jesus Christ is Lord. He is Lord. He is Lord. He is risen from the dead, and He is Lord. Every knee shall bow, every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord.
For He is Lord. He is Lord.
Come on, church. He's still Lord.
He has risen
from the dead,
and He is Lord. And my knees shall bow, and my tongue confess that
Jesus Christ is Lord.
He is Lord, oh, He is Lord.
Come on, I'm going to ask the Lord for a miracle tonight. Sing with me, He has risen from the dead.
He has risen.
Come on. Faith rises when we worship Jesus. Come on. Faith rises up when we're worshiping Jesus Christ.
Will every knee shall bow, tongue confess that Jesus Christ.
I want you to hear something tonight. Just keep playing, musicians, softly. Benny Hinn learned a powerful truth years ago. He learned that when you worship Jesus, that Jesus becomes more real to you almost at that time than any other time. If you will just open your mouth and worship Jesus, and if you will just passionately throw yourself into the very presence of God, He's inside of each one of us. He's inside of each one of us. But there, we need to throw ourselves also into Him. He's in us and we're in Him. The Bible says Christ in us is the hope of glory. And you know, the Bible also talks about the former and the latter rain being poured out at once. It talks about that in the book of, I believe it's the book of Acts, isn't it? Didn't one of the, Peter quote the Old Testament in the book of Acts? Talking about the former rain being poured out and the latter rain being poured out at the same time. Now this is what I believe. And I may be wrong, but this is what I believe tonight. I believe that the former rain was the blessing of God coming upon people in the old covenant. I believe that rain's been poured out already. I'm not expecting any more of that rain to be poured out. And I believe the latter rain is the power of the Holy Ghost resident inside of the believer today. And I'm not expecting, I mean, I am not asking God, God, would you please pour out the latter rain? Bless God, we've already in the latter rain. We're asking God for too many things we've already got. And I'm going to say this to this church and this sister in this wheelchair. She said, I asked her what she was up here for. She said, and after talking about some things, she said, and I believe in God that I'm going to be healed. And I told her to change her confession from, I believe God, I'm going to be healed, to
to I believe God that I am the healed of the Lord, because the Bible doesn't promise us healing in the New Testament. It promises that we are already healed. And I'm not getting after anybody, but I'm going to tell you, we have too many people in wheelchairs for too many years because they won't change their belief system from the old covenant to the new covenant. The new covenant's a done deal. Done deal. I want you to read this. Are you able to read pretty good? Show her where it is. I want you to read it to the church. I want you to read 1 Peter 2:24 to the church. This is what Jesus... And I want you to preface it by saying, this is what Jesus has already done for me.
Who, when he would reveal, do not revile in... Who himself bore our sins in his own body on the tree... He's so good. He's so good. That we have to die to sin, may live for righteousness. By whose stripes you were healed.
Now look at me, sister. Has he already bore your sins on the body? On the tree, according to this verse of scripture, has he already borne your sins? Are you already the righteousness of God in Christ, according to that verse of scripture? Then according to that verse of scripture, are you already the healed of the Lord? Give me that Bible. Listen, I can show you 20 million scriptures in the Bible on healing, but all you need is one. You got a revelation tonight. That scripture was illuminated into your heart tonight that you are already healed. Come on, give me your hand. Sweetheart, come here. Now, I know this sister can already walk. She can still walk. That's not the point. But I am not willing to settle for somebody just walking, just barely walking. It's time the church rises up and says, bless God, I am not settling for second best anymore. There is no reason for this sister to be in a wheelchair. No reason. Because she's got the power of the Holy Ghost resident inside of her with healing. Now sing that with me again. He is Lord. He is Lord. You say, what's that got to do with it? Well, he's the Lord, the healer.
He is risen.
Now, sister, we're going to do something that you haven't been able to do very much. We're going to take a walk. And we're going to take a walk together. And I'm going to be on this side of you. And my wife is going to be on that side of you. But I'm telling you, the Holy Ghost is going to hold you up. We're not going to hold you up. The power of the Holy Ghost on the inside of you is going to hold you up. And in Jesus' name, I'm going to declare over you right now, you're not going to get short of breath. Your ankles aren't going to give out. Your legs aren't going to give out in Jesus' name. You are going to experience a miracle tonight in your body. Are you ready for that? All right, let's go.
He is Lord.
Come on.
He has risen from the dead, and he is Lord.
Don't listen to the voice of the enemy. Jesus said, I healed you, sister. I healed you. I healed you. I healed you. Say it with me. I am healed. Say it with me, sister. I am healed. Declare it.
That Jesus Christ is Lord.
I am. I am healed. Praise God. I am healed. 'Cause by his stripes I am healed. Praise I am healed by his stripes. Jesus. Jesus, I am healed by His stripes. Thank You, Jesus, for loving me as mine. Thank You, Jesus, for I am healed. By His stripes I will walk, I will run, and I will dance for His glory. Thank You, Jesus, for healing me. Thank You, Jesus, for healing me. I am healed by His stripes. Jesus loves me for who I am. So, Jesus, thank You for healing me. Thank You, Jesus. Thank You, Jesus, for healing me. Thank You, Jesus, for giving me the strength I need. Thank You, Jesus, for healing me. Thank You, Jesus, for healing me. Thank You, Jesus, for being here with me. Thank You, Jesus, for healing me. Thank You, Jesus, for healing me. Thank You, Jesus, for taking pain from me. Thank You, Jesus, for healing me. Thank You, Jesus.
I need you, brother. It's been a long, long time since she's experienced the presence of the Holy Ghost on her. Come on, Sister Jerry, you must. Lift your hands, stretch your hands out towards this couple, both of you. That's all right, brother. You just hold your hands around me. Hallelujah. Come on, church. We're experiencing miracles tonight.
He has risen from the dead.
You're a man of God. I know you're a man of God. I can sense that, man. You've got the presence of the Holy Ghost all over.
Brother Clifton, when you're free, I need you again. Okay, I need you to pray for somebody again. Are you free? Go ahead, go ahead. Just a minute then, that's fine. Come on, church. We are a Holy Ghost church. We are a Holy Ghost church. Come on. Well, He is Lord. Jesus, your Lord. You're my Lord. I never will forget the first time I heard Pastor Jerry lead it that way.
You have risen from the dead, and you're my Lord. And my knees shall bow, and my tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord.
You're my Lord.
You're my Lord.
Come on, church. This ought to be the norm for this church.
You're my Lord.
This ought to be the normal thing taking place in this church.
You have risen from the dead. My knees shall bow,
and
my tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord.
You're my healer, you're my healer.
You're my healer. You're my healer, and my knees shall bow, and my tongue confess
that Jesus Christ is my healer.
That Jesus Christ
is my healer. Sing it again. Well, you're my Holy Ghost baptizer. Come on, go ahead and sing it out. You're my Holy Ghost baptizer.
You have risen from the dead,
and you're my Holy Ghost baptizer. Yeah.
And my knees.
I love him. He's awesome.
Tongue confess that Jesus Christ
is my Holy Ghost baptizer. Hallelujah. Well, I'll just pray for you. How's that? We'll do this. We'll do this, okay? Hallelujah. Sister Sherry, you know, you ladies know the worship team, that what you guys do here more than I do. Just do another song if you want, but just stay in a mode of worship, okay? Come on, God does mighty things in worship. Hallelujah. I said God does mighty things in worship.
This Holy Ghost power, it's setting me free.
Can I change one word on that song? He's. Go from it to he. This Holy Ghost power. This Holy Ghost power. I'm not sure how it goes. He's setting me free. He's down in my soul.
He's setting me free.
That's right. That's right.
This very
hour, yeah, that's it.
He's down in my soul. He's making me whole.
He's setting me free.
He's setting me free,
free, free.
This Holy Ghost power.
Sing it again.
He's setting me free.
How many of you know the Holy Ghost is not an it? He's a he. He's part of the Godhead.
He's setting me free.
This very hour, isn't he, sister?
This very hour.
He's down in your soul, isn't he?
He's down in my soul.
He's setting me free.
He's setting me free. This Holy Ghost power.
I love his power.
He's
I love him too.
This very hour.
Hallelujah.
He's down in my soul.
He's making.
He's making me whole. He's setting me free, free, free. This Holy Ghost power.
Shoto soto reba basete atialato reba babakaya babo shato soto koreba hasayi reba bo soto reba bo shayene heke esiata reba sayena tilato kareba soto do shakataya atisato reba basata nateletiato konda reba sayeto shalete kata reba santo toto kombatea Anese reba shokomo bohosea ilato reba tlesando maiso reba sho makaya sekaribo shakadana bahaya alese te reba bakoda yana sita yana niyara to kore baba shanadana dahaya ehe reba saye ma pata so bra tisando kaba shata latiko tundo dosa tatataleya Ai so reba shalade kalatiko sondo to ma reba ba se he te e reba soto ya ma isaye le he lato ma talatika to santo kareba she ya ma tisalato reba shalane ne riara kore ya saba baba ye di to na reba si moma andi lea to santa reba kalado shalakali ya sota reba baba kaya me he se he reba baba saya No to sanda daye le te kende ya soto kun shanda daye. Le te reba bakaya mabababahaya. Mary, I hear the Lord saying, Surely, daughter, I've not brought you into the family that I brought you into, says the Spirit of grace, to let you hide yourself behind the scenes, says the Spirit of the Lord. For surely I have brought you into the kingdom for such a time as this. And the Lord says, it's time to come out of hiding. It's time to come out of your hiding place. For I have placed a word within you, says the Spirit of the Lord, to even give to others. For I will no longer let you hide behind a cloak of secrecy, says the Spirit of the Lord. But I have placed a word within your spirit, and it will become a fire that will burn so strong that you can say, Lord, I cannot keep quiet any longer. And the Lord says, this is a season for you to rise up, daughter, and begin to say, Lord, I will speak what you give me to speak. And when I begin to decree and declare it, I shall see it because you have spoken it to me. And God says, now is the time. Now is the time I'm releasing you into the prophetic, says God. And you will begin to decree and declare it. Decree and declare it. Now, Lord, I thank you. I thank you for the fire of the Holy Ghost burning inside of her, that her steps are ordered by you, Lord, and she cannot keep silent any longer. For woman, thou art loosed. Show my yisado tanda tanda da bakana go, says God. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord God. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Release. There it is. Yes, yes, Lord. Yes, 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 yes. Even as deep calls unto deep. Even as deep calls unto deep. So my spirit calls unto you. For you are mine. You are mine, says the
Lord. I love you.
Sure,
in your presence, carried on.
And even if you whisper to yourself, oh, Lord, they will hear what I have to say. God says, I will set you before people that will listen. And they will hear.
How my soul longs for.
Thank you, Lord. I thank you for your
worship forever.
There it is, Mary.
In the
yes,
power.
Yes, 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 yes.
Majesty.
Where am I? Now, do you believe? Hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Holy Ghost. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, huh? Yes, 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 yes. Oh, hallelujah. Kora baba shara diyara to kora baba baba siya. Yes, ore baba baba shon dorodaya. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Brother Jim, you have been awful quiet tonight. What dost thou know us, O man of God? Brother Jim has entered into his rest, so we will let him rest. Thank you, Father. Hallelujah.